Hey guys, welcome to the Detailing Solutions podcast. My name is Alan Medcraft, and today I will be your host. It's a Q&A episode, and before we dive into it and I let you know who's going to be the guest on today, I got to do this really boring bit at the start that Alex does. So here we go. TheDetailingSolutionsPodcast.com is where you can find all the links to where you can listen to this podcast. We also have the preferred vendors page for all our sponsors. There, you can go and click on their links and the websites, and please make sure you insert their coupons to save some monies. By supporting our advertisers and our vendors, you're also supporting the podcast because they give us money to save you money so that we make money. It's kind of funny. Alex told me to say that. You tell me in the comments if you think that was funny. I'm not sure. We also have the merch store, so make sure you head over there where you can get all the best Detailing Solutions podcast apparel. It's going to be so cool. If you're on YouTube right now, hiya, how you doing? Make sure you give it a like, hit us in the comments, and we might even get a little Q&A session at the end. And make sure you hit the share button as well so all your friends can see this rather unique episode where today I'm your host, and who is going to be the guest? Let's find out. If you're going to MTE and you haven't already purchased your tickets, then you can save a few pennies. Make sure you head over to expo.com, mobiletechexpo.com, sorry, and put in the coupon DSP15, Delta Sierra Papa 15. It'll save you 15% on your tickets. And guess what? Whilst you're there, go to expo.com/golden-mic. And you can leave us a review for the Golden Mic Award. We'd really appreciate it. I have lots of fun when I'm on the Detailing Solutions podcast. The guys put great efforts in, so make sure you give them a cheeky review. I would appreciate it. And if they win it this year, we can say it's because of me. Don't forget to like, share, and follow, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. They really do appreciate it. The two guys are putting epic effort in, so I'd love it if we can give them a digital high five. Also, please remember and leave a 5-star review, just like you detailers want to get for your clients on your Google pages about your business. These guys would like it on their version, which is Spotify and the Apple podcast areas. Whew, how does he do that without having a drink? I have no idea. I'm going to have one right now. Good old British cup of tea. All right. So the Detailing Solution podcast listeners, my guest today is Alex Russell. Hey, Alex.
How you doing, Alan? I think I might have just lost my job.
Is this an interview for me to start my own podcast? How this is? So just to put some context why I am the host and Alex is the guest. Alex and I have been chatting in the background. See, we do talk. I don't just mug him off all these episodes. We do talk. And we had this great idea where we were like, hey, Alex, have you ever told your story on the podcast? Do people know where Alex came from? Why he started it? Why are you friends with this Jason guy? You know, so he said, let's do it. So I thought, why not? I'll be the host. Let's have some fun. And let's do one of your Q&A episodes together. So it's a huge privilege, Alex. It's going to be an episode where I actually don't say much. And you say
that. Maybe. That might be weird because we're both a couple of Chatty Cathys. So,
right.
I appreciate you doing this. When you mentioned it, I thought it was a great idea. I've never really kind of done my own episode, just bits and pieces throughout all the other episodes. So yeah, man, it should be fun.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll dive straight in for the amazing listeners that might be picking up this episode for the first time. Everyone, this is Alex. He is the host. Well, in fact, Alex, here. Yeah. You tell everyone who you are.
Man, so I'm Alex Russell. I don't know what else you want me to say. So I'm Alex Russell. I'm a detailer. I'm a father. I'm a podcaster. That I did not ever think that would be the thing. But yeah, here we are. So.
All right. So let's dive in a little bit, Alex. So you're Alex. Yeah. Where are you based in the world?
So I am in Sanford, Florida, which is about maybe 15, 20 miles, depending on what part of you're coming from, but of Orlando, Florida. So the central Florida.
You're a shorts and t-shirt kind of guy. If you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're shorts and t-shirts. Exactly. Yeah. I think it was 100%. Like 75, 78 today. and it's January 4th or whatever. Yeah.
And you mentioned you have a detail shop. So let's tell the listeners a little bit about that. Where's your location for the detail shop?
So I'm very fortunate that, you know, my location's like 4 miles from my house. It's awesome. It takes me like, you know, 6 minutes to get to work in the morning, which is really nice. And it's also, so it's also in Sanford. You know, nothing too special. It's just a little 600 square foot garage space kind of thing.
Yeah. And so you started out as a detailer before the podcast. So what does your average, you know, detailing day look like? What type of services do you provide? Do you have a kind of target customer, one day, multiple days?
Yeah. So, I mean, most of, you know, what I try to do, or most of my work is the corrections and coatings, you know, take 2 days to do, deliver it on the third day. Honestly, I wish I could get to the point to where I tell everybody all the time, I wish I could get to the point where I was just doing 52 cars a year, right? I just want to do one coating job a week, you know, at my prices. That'd be a very comfortable living for me. Our overhead is very low, for the building and everything. But I'm not afraid of doing, you know, the smaller stuff, the grunt stuff, right? Like the washes and waxes, the interior details, you know, those types of things that don't necessarily, you know, fill the bank account, you know, with one big, large lump sum.
Right. Yeah. And is it because of the stage in your career or stage in life you're in at the minute that you're happy to have, if you don't mind me saying, that's quite like a lifestyle business model where you're just like, look, I'm happy to have, well, you said 52, but we got to have some leave, right? So you're maybe looking for a 46 working year, just doing like one nice car and done out. Like, can you give a bit of context around why that's where you are in your life right now?
Well, yeah, so that's exactly it. You know, I mean, I'll be 50 in March. I've gotten to the point where, you know, we've done this before on the podcast where we talked about work-life balance, right? And I'd rather spend more time at home with Haley and Michelle, and especially with Haley's cheerleading, that takes up, you know, a lot of time for us. I mean, we spend multiple days at the gym and then, you know, multiple weekends a month at competitions and things like that. So it really has become more of, you know, I want to be able to spend that time with her, and with Michelle, and do it that way. And realistically, again, you know, our overhead is so cheap at the shop that, you know, I don't need to do a ton of work, you know, to make decent money. I can do, you know, what some guys are doing, you know, take home wise, and they're doing twice or three times as much work because they're paying these, you know, $1,500, $2,000 a month rent. I pay $390 a month for rent, you know, and then all our chemicals and everything are very, very cheap. I don't load up on tons of stuff. I just buy as needed. But yeah, it's definitely kind of like what you said. It's kind of the lifestyle model that I'm choosing just because of where I am in life. And you know, the wife has spent a good, you know, part of the last 4 or 5 years of, you know, tightening the belt, so to speak. And, you know, we didn't spend a whole lot of money to where, you know, we have paid down a big majority of our debt. You know, I mean, right now we only have the house, the new car, and, you know, like one credit card, which is the one that we have to use constantly for different things, but we pay that, you know, as we go. So we don't have a lot of debt personally, like most people kind of do. So between what she makes at her job and then what I do at the shop, we can still live, you know, pretty darn comfortably and have the things that we want and need without having to stress over, you know, oh shoot, you know, we've got this big bill coming up, like, you know, I better get in the shop and start making some money or whatever.
Dude, you unpacked a lot there. Like, I've written down a lot. We could go down many rabbit holes on this podcast now. But I guess I kind of want to go with, I love where you're at right now, and I'd love to dive down there a little more. But what brought you to this point, if you don't mind me asking, where you're nearly 50, you've got a lifestyle business, like, who is Alex pre what you're doing now? What did you do before?
So Alex Pre was still kind of in the industry, you know. Back in 95, I needed out of the job that I was working. I was working for a girlfriend's father. Her and I had broke up, so now she was the ex-girlfriend.
There's a complicated circle.
Well, yeah, but the funny thing was is that I was such a good employee for the father that he's like, I don't give a shit. I want you to stay here. You know, like he was almost willing to fire his daughter to keep me. And I said, no, I got to be out. I had a friend who managed a car wash. He gave me a job. I started at the car wash. And so for 20 odd years, I worked in and around car washes, whether it was, you know, just the regular employee, a detailer, a supervisor, a manager, you know, pretty much had worked my way up to, you know, manager and a regional manager, doing two locations. So that was kind of, you know, Alex before, but it was, you know, that was kind of bell to bell, you know, I mean, it's being at work at 7 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning to get the car wash set up, ready to go to open at 8 o'clock. And then being at the car wash until, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, closing it down, you know, getting everything put away, doing all bank information, things like that. So, you know, that was more of a 60 hour plus, you know, work week. And when I started a little bit before the last car wash I was at before I started the business I have now, my daughter was 4. You know, at that age, they're cool to hang around at that age, right? You could actually start doing stuff with them. And so I took a position with that wash where I was only working 40 to 45 hours a week, but I was getting paid like I was working 60. Due to some sales and stuff like that. So when I decided to, you know, to leave there, because of the sale of the business, like most people have listened to the podcast before, they sold the car wash. The new company wasn't going to do any kind of detailing for me to get paid the way that I was going to get paid. And I opted to basically tell all of our clientele like, hey, I'm leaving, I'm starting my own and kind of started, you know, automatically with clients. And I did have to put in some hours, you know, during those first couple of years. But once we grew it to a point, you know, I could dial it back a little bit and kind of go into this, you know, I kind of call myself a part-time, full-time detailer because I only work like maybe 30 hours a week, but I kind of make full-time pay, you know?
So that was that kind of, that car wash phase got you up to like 2015. So I think me guessing there before we go into how you started your business, I've been told we're 10 minutes in. I'm getting the nod. So should we listen to one of your amazing advertisers?
We will. Let's do that. You need a website, but you don't know where to start? Detailers Roadmap can help. Their websites are designed for detailers and have all the features you need to convert visitors into lifelong customers. It's easy to use, affordable, and they'll even write and design the website from start to finish. So accelerate your auto detailing business's growth and increase online visibility with Detailers Roadmap's bespoke digital marketing services, PF, ceramic coating, and tinting sales. Contact Detailers Roadmap today to schedule your free discovery call. And make sure you tell them you heard about it here on the Detail Solutions podcast to receive your discount.
Yes. Man, I love those guys. Anyway, we won't go down that rabbit hole. This one is about you, sir. So we were, you've been working in car washes. Unfortunately, there was a bit of a breakup. Man, we're going to need longer than an hour before we even get to the podcast on your life. You're an interesting dude, right? So we're roughly 2015, 2016, I'm guessing. So, we're a few years in now. How did you start the detailing business? You said you transitioned and kind of took some customers with you, but just walk us on that journey. Were you mobile first? Did you work from home? Like, how did it happen?
So rewind, I guess I would have to rewind a little bit into kind of that last 6 months-ish or so at the car wash. You know, I started I had friends who have done detailing, and you know, they were kind of explaining to me about what I still kind of consider like this new style of detailing, right? With DAs and ceramic coatings and all the stuff that we're doing, because you know, all I'd ever known was car wash detailing, which is, you know, kind of that 70s, you know, 80s high speed rotary. You know, that's how you cut a car, how you finish the car, you throw some wax on it, you know, do interior details, those types of things. So I had managed to talk the owners of the car wash, who obviously I was, you know, pretty good friends with. I'd worked on and off with them for the better part of 12 to 15 years between two different washes. And, you know, they were kind of down to try it. You know, so they said, hey, just don't break the bank, you know, go buy whatever you need. And especially when I told them that, you know, we could use a Rupes machine and, you know, not have to worry about damaging paint, you know, or damaging parts on cars or things like that. That's what really kind of sold them, was, you know, that hey, you know, we can eliminate some damages.
And we're still talking, so, this is the 2015 era. So like, yeah, we're still microfiber technology was very early in its stages, still probably only with wires at the time.
Right. I mean, to be honest with you, so we became a distributor for Rupes, and at the time it was only Todd and Chip.
Right.
Like that's how far it goes back, right? So like, I actually met with Chip and Todd. They both, you know, Todd lives here locally. Chip had come down for something or whatever, and Todd and Chip came by the car wash, and we had a good talk. Todd taught me how to use the machines and all that fun stuff. I had got them into letting us do that at the car washes and start making some, generating extra detailing money in the car washes that way. So it kind of gave me a little bit of a, you know, what to do kind of feel for it, that when, you know, the time came and they said, the new company said, hey, we don't do details. You know, that's not how we're doing it. That's how I got paid. So I just said, well, I'm going to leave. My owner said, let everybody know and take all the customers you want, because you're not technically stealing from them, customers from them, because they're not going to do that work. So I lucked out. One of the clients that we had was a little used car dealership. They had a 30,000 square foot building, and they said, hey, why don't you come and just rent space from us? And then that way you can take our cars on and off the lot. You can have your own clients. So that's kind of how the transition went, was I went from technically being fired on a Tuesday. I was supposed to come back Wednesday if I wanted to be rehired, which I didn't. To Thursday being in my own little space in this building and having clientele right off the bat.
And at this point, you must be what? Early 40s?
Yeah.
You know, the young ones, just 5 years old. You're in that kind of where you are in your life right now?
Yeah.
Dude, that's epic. Look at all these people that panic, right? In their 20s and stuff. And there's you going, nah, I'm going for it. Send it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, looking back on it, what I know, you know, the whole, you know, what you know now, you know, if I would have known then what I know now, there have been times where, you know, I always wanted to kind of leave that car wash life, but it paid well, you know, and it was management position and benefits and fun, and, you know, and I wasn't really, you know, sweating my ass off all the time washing and drying the cars and whatnot. But there were a lot of times that, you know, I thought like, man, like, you know, what if I did a detail shop, or what if I did mobile or whatever? But at the time, it, you know, that was even before DAs and coatings and everything. It would have been probably tough. But now I look back at it and go, man, I wish I would have made that jump a long time ago and transitioned quicker into this industry.
A lot of my wife and I say a lot that life is chapters, and I'm just, you know, trying to give the listeners a little bit of the man behind the podcast and going this far back, because I'm guessing in that point in your life, you know, you're a new dad. So, you know, the instinct in you is, okay, this is a stable job. My chapter right now is to be a dad. How do I support what's happening at home? So you might look back from a professional perspective and go, yeah, if I'd have done this sooner, I could be X, Y, Z ahead. But your chapter
at the time it was scary because, you know, I was leaving. I mean, there was even times where, you know, Michelle and I would have, you know, arguments and fights. And she was like, I wish you would have stayed at the car wash. At least it would have been, you know, secure money. You know, but you power through those storms, you know, and you get to where you're going or where you want to be. And, you know, as long as you stick through it and stick with it. And that's the one thing I always try to tell people when they reach out to me and ask me, you know, for advice or whatever, is you got to power through it. You know, the first 2 or 3 years are just going to be, you know, terrible. And one of the things that really kind of helped Michelle to kind of calm down a little bit about it was, so my cousin Yvette is married to Brian Churchill. I don't know if you know Brian Churchill. He's kind of like that old school. I mean, him and Kilmer started together And so my cousin married Brian. So Brian's like my cousin by marriage. And we were, Yvette, his wife, my cousin, was down here for visiting with family. And, you know, Michelle had a conversation with her and Yvette told Michelle, like, look, it was, you know, 3-4 years before we started seeing some stability with the business. And so that kind of helped. It kind of helped, you know, for Michelle to kind of like realize like where we were heading, where we needed to be, what was going to go on. And sure enough, like that 3.5-4 year mark, we kind of, you know, leveled out a little bit as far as like, you know, being able to stay steady and make good money and things like that. So that was definitely something that helped. And that's one of the things that I tell people, you know, like those first 2, 3, 4 years, it's going to suck. Yeah. And if you can do it in 6 months, like some of these guys I've talked to have only been in it for 6 months a year and they're rocking out. I'm like, man, you guys are blessed because you didn't
I think where I wanted to go with this interview, I think we're going there naturally anyway, was just to show people more of the guy behind the podcast, like why you relate well to, I feel, when I come on your podcast anyway, when you can get a word in that you understand and you relate. And it's because, you know, the seasoned life you have, plus you've been there and not done it all, but been through the motions. I think that's it. Even I say as a guy that's traveled around, blessed to have traveled to many countries doing what we do. I don't know it all, but I'm blessed to see a lot. And you have that kind of, it comes across when you're interviewing people. So I'm glad we went down that road. So we're showing everyone that, you know, you've got skin in the game. We're seasoned. You've been through that first start. Back on a point there, actually, I do believe a lot of these guys that start doing well within the 6 month, if we were to do this style interview with them as well, you'd probably find pre them being into detail and they have so many life skills previously that they've applied.
Yeah.
Whereas many of the people come into this industry, it's a beautiful industry that you can come into with nothing. You can come into it with your bootstraps, you know? And that's what's beautiful about it, but it just might take people coming in on that lower end of the budget, lower end of experience, from business life and the actual skill. It'll take a little bit longer, but I am a strong believer like you that, you know, give it a go, go in 100%, because then at least you know if you fail, you failed giving it your all. And this industry does give back. It really does give back. It's a great industry. Okay, so we've covered who you are, how you got to where you are. And I think next we'll maybe talk about what's going off right now and some other fun things once we listen to another one of our amazing sponsors.
If you own a detailing business, you need Car Supplies Warehouse. We offer tested and proven solutions to keep your business running strong. We offer wholesale memberships, in-person training, and the best chemicals, products, and tools all in one place. Go to carsupplieswarehouse.com and use code SOLUTIONS for 15% off. Code is valid for one-time use only. Some restrictions may apply.
Go shop now on carsupplieswarehouse.com.
I love Jason. I knew he was going to do that. You know, like Jason and I have that banter level. It's so good. Anyway, plus I'm going to do a cheesy plug. Make sure you go and check them out because you can get the AM details range there as well. High five. Right, go back into host mode. All right, Alex. So we've covered how you got to where you are today. Before we go into the podcast, I think there's a few more Alex things we need to know. Yeah. So you've lived a little. You're kicking ass, taking names with a pretty good lifestyle business, which honestly, I don't care what a lot of people say when they say they want to print their millions and do whatever, like high five to them. If you can have a comfortable lifestyle business as a young father, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you're still a young father. Your daughter is what age doing cheerleading now?
13.
13, right? So you're still a young father in the skin of the game of being a dad, right? And you're getting a lifestyle business right now, like high five to you. Well done. So I've got written down here, of course, we have the car. We got to talk about the car. Okay. We don't need a car history, but it's a nice little car. What made you tick that box? What made you go, hey, because, you know, that's a unique car for America as well. So what?
Yeah.
Give us a little taste behind who Alex is and why that choice.
So Alex, first and foremost, we kind of have to go back, is a Mitsubishi Evolution fan. Going all the way back to the Evo 4.
Right. The 4. I thought you were going to be a 5, but 4?
Listen. I started liking them at the 4. The 5 and the 6 are my favorites.
When the 5 is my era. Tommy Mäkinen 5, yes, that's my era.
Yes, right? I know. So when the 8s came here to the States, had to have one, ended up talking Michelle into us buying one. Just absolutely loved it, you know. Just a little fast, quick little all-wheel drive turbocharged car.
Did you get the 8, sorry, on your car wash wage, or did you get the 8 as a self-employed detailer?
No, the 8 was on the car wash wage. That was 2004 we bought that car. It was actually an 03. It was a Mitsubishi executive car. So it was never titled. It did have 10,000 miles on it. So technically we were the first owners of it, even though we kind of bought it used. Then when the 10s came out, because the 10s came out, I think around 2009, we did upgrade to a 2010 and in 2012. So again, I love that little, you know, saloon style, all wheel drive, turbocharged car. So in 2015, when Mitsubishi said, hey, we're done with the Evo, not bringing it back, you know, my hopes were crushed. I'm not a Subi fan, you know, so I did not want to switch to get a Subi. I had always been an Audi S4 fan. Michelle and I actually had a 2005 S4 when they were the 4.2 liter V8 6-speeds, 6-speed manual. And we loved that car.
You drive
a
manual? You drive stick?
Yeah, I can drive stick. Yeah. What? So you know, that when I was looking to, like, what do I get next? The RS3 had come out like around 2016-ish, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, that's like an Evo. It's small like an Evo, 4 doors, all-wheel drive, turbocharged, but with way more horsepower than an Evo.
Five-cylinder, prop, bang, bang.
Oof. Yeah, exactly. So Michelle said, if you want that car, you have to start doing 6-figure years at the business. At the time, we were doing like 80-ish. So I started ramping up, trying to get my sales up, my ticket up, you know, everything, get up to where I could get to that 6-figure mark. So 2019 rolls around, we get it. You know, we start looking at trying to buy a Michelle's like, well, we'll buy it in 2020. So then 2020, we all know what happened in 2020.
We're not allowed to say that word in podcasts. Yeah, don't say
exactly. Exactly. You know, and then it was okay, you know, well, they're actually gonna do a new one, you know, redesign it. It's gonna be better, cooler, faster, whatever. So I was like, great, that's even better. So we'll do it in 21. So, you know, my buddy works at the Audi dealership, and I said, you know, hey, you know, soon as whatever, you let me know. I'm putting a deposit down on it. So as soon as they were able to take deposits towards the end of 21, he called me and said, hey, he said, it's only $1,000 to put a deposit down, you know, save your space in line. It's a done deal. Send me the paperwork. You know, we put it on a card, and then paid the card off, and then waited for what's
changed the spec, and then changed the spec, and then changed the spec.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, then we finally got, you know, I think it was like April or something. We got to actually do our order, put our order in. And then, as everybody kind of knows, has listened to this, it was supposed to come in December and got pushed back 6 weeks, and then got pushed back another 6 weeks. So I wasn't technically supposed to get it until end of March. And in fact, talking to my buddy, it still hasn't even been built yet, my original order model. But my buddy called me at the end of October, or right around the end of October. And he said, hey, look, he said, Audi has opened up an allocation. We have one coming. It's your exact spec. It's already built, going on the boat. It'll be here end of November, beginning of December, just depending on. He said, do you want to switch? And I said, yes. So we switched.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's kind of how it started, was with the Evo. You know, I mean, to me, it was a better equivalent to the Evo car. I mean, it's same size, same kind of, you know, room and everything like that, but just, you know, better engine, more horsepower. And it honestly, surprisingly, for it being an Audi and being kind of a heavy car, it drives like I felt my Evo 8 drove, which I always said that car drove like a go-kart. The Evo 10,
they're like a rail track, right? You just can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The Evo 10, I loved it, but it did feel a little heavy at times in corners. And then that's kind of how this RS3 feels. This RS3 is about the same weight as my Evo 10, but it handles the corners and drives on the rails like my Evo 8 did. So, nice. I'm so excited with that car. You know, Michelle told me today, she's like, can you take the SQ5 and go put gas in it? And I was like, yes.
Can I take some like gas cans in the RS to go and get your fuel for the SQ?
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, so
we're getting
How many times do you hear somebody complain that they, you know, like between an SQ5 and an RS3, they don't want to drive an SQ5, right?
Right.
Like, who's really complaining about that?
Dude, you'd have thought me and you have done podcasts before. We're about halfway. This is epic, exactly where in my mind I wanted to be. Let's go and listen to another one of your amazing sponsors, and then we'll come back and talk about how this podcast came to be.
Awesome.
Now is your chance to try Oberg's new rinseless wash and quick detailer. Additionally, you can save 15% by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. This hyper concentrate can be diluted down for a rinseless wash and a quick detailer. It serves excellent as a clay bar lubricant and truly smells incredible. To find out more, please visit oberkarcare.com.
Nice. So we have the Detail Solutions podcast, and yes. I could ask a general story. How did it? Yeah, I'll ask the question. Come on, hit me, Alex. How did this bad boy come to be? What happened? Tell me there's some amazing story where you and Jason are sat and, you know, send it to me. Tell the listeners, what is this?
So, you know, it's 2020. What else are you going to do? You start an OnlyFans or you start a podcast, right? Like
one you'd have made more money doing, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. Maybe.
But you don't need it. You got a lifestyle business. You're okay.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Like, I don't really listen to a lot of podcasts. I didn't really have an idea of what podcasts were other than people just get on there and talk. Right. And usually they're either just shooting the shit with their friends, talking about whatever they want to talk about, or, you know, their Q&As or things like that. And I really just wanted to have a better relationship with detailers in the industry, because the local guys, aren't so much, right? Like it seems like everybody, you know, when you try to message them or talk to them, they immediately like shields go up. What do you want? Yeah. Why are you calling me? Right. Why, you know, what are you trying to do? Right. Whereas like on Facebook and social media, you know, like there's a little bit more camaraderie, there's a little more help, you know, where people are willing to help. And so I wanted to have that relationship with some of these detailers. And so I thought like, okay, what if I did a podcast, you know, and I just bring people on that I want to, you know, that I see on Facebook and get to know them and learn about them. So I'm in a chat group with Jason and Aaron Knox, and at the time another detailer, and I kind of jokingly just
private chat group. Sorry, this is yeah. Like a WhatsApp or like a Facebook.
Yeah, just a message, Facebook Messenger group. Yeah. You know,
perfect. Thank you.
So kind of jokingly, I was like, "Hey, I'm thinking about, you know, starting a podcast just to see what the guys would say." You know, like I figured if they kind of roasted me a little bit, like it might be a good idea. You know, if they told me to go for it, it was a great idea, you know, and if they just didn't look at it, then it was, you know, not a good idea. And everybody was like, dude, do it. You know, they Noxie and Jason and Gray, they told me to do it. So, I mean, we're talking like April of 2020. I spent probably a good month and a half just trying to figure out how do you do a podcast? Like, where do you put a podcast? There's so many podcast platforms or hosts out there, but a lot of them are paid. And I was like, man, I don't know if this thing's gonna, you know, do anything. I don't want to pay like $20 a month to be able to host my podcast. So, you know, then it was like, what's the best free podcast? And I kind of, you know, landed on Anchor. It was really good. It's still really good. The fact that they're owned by Spotify is awesome because it's, you know, there's some real technology and money put behind it. So then once I figured all that out, then it was me and Jason doing a lot of like fake, basically just phone calls, through the Anchor app, you know, where we were just trying to just talking. And then I would go back and listen to it, just kind of see how the audio was, how to edit it, cut pieces out, you know, or whatever. And that's kind of how it grew. I had my initial five people that I wanted to talk to. And then I thought like, okay, if I make it past five, then I'll do another five. And, you know, if I'm not completely booed out of the industry at that point, then, you know, we'll kind of see what happens after 10. And that's kind of how it went. You know, it was the first five and got some positive feedback from some people, you know, started off with, you know, very low listeners. But it was crazy, you know, like 20 listens. I was like, holy shit. Like I got 20 listens. Like, right. You know, that's incredible. Like, I can't believe 20 people want to listen to me.
And as a, just because the way my brain works at that time, did you have much of a social platform? Did you like, 'cause I know for people listening, so of course you could create this and send it to your friends, Alex. So you're a guy in the industry, you're known, you got connections, but what I'm trying to work out is at that time, did you have a platform of people that you didn't directly know? So like, you know, Noxie, you know, these guys are in your chat groups. Yeah. If you were to share this link out to come, you know, at what point did you think you had a big enough following that people you didn't know were going to listen? Or do you reckon you knew those 20 people who were listening?
So I'll be honest with you. I didn't even think I had a following at that point. I mean, 2019 was kind of dubbed the summer of bromance between me and Noxie, because that's when him and I kind of became friends and kind of had a whole little back and forth in the Pain Assassins group, like all the time, cute, just, you know, razzing on everybody. Yeah, you know, and then, you know, 2020 MTE was kind of the first time I realized that had kind of popped off, because so many people had come up to me and are like, oh, you're that guy that always fucks with Noxie. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and they're like, we love it. You know, it's awesome. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, somebody knows me. So I felt like I was riding Noxie's coattails, you know, at the time.
What was the 2020 MTE? Where was that? What was that one?
So that was the first one of the Rosen. That was the first one of the Rosen
Creek one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, it was. I think like 2 weeks later is when they, or no, like maybe 2 months later is when COVID happened and they shut down.
We did, yeah. And COVID. I'd just been in China before I went to MTE, so you never know. I might have brought it over with me.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry, dude.
No. So at the time I started the podcast, I didn't really feel like I had any kind of notoriety, popularity. I mean, I knew some people obviously through Pain Assassins because we all kind of know each other. So, I mean, as far as the social media thing, it was just, hey, I'm, you know, Jason, can I post this link in Pain Assassins and let the Pain Assassins people know? And obviously, because Jason was the first guest, he was kind of my blanket, like, right, my security blanket. He was like, yeah. And then what I did was I just kind of posted it in some other groups and just was kind of like, hey, hope this is okay with the admins. If not, delete, you know, whatever kind of deal. No, I mean, I didn't think that I knew the 20 people that were listening or whatever. Nice. And in fact, I was surprised when I started looking at statistics through the Anchor app and saw that, like, you know, hey, we've got one listener in Mexico. We've got one listener in, you know, the UK. We've got one listener in somewhere in Europe. And, you know, and I'm like, holy shit, like you know, it's international, like out of 20 people, I'm getting, you know, 5 people listening to me outside of the United States. Like, I can't believe that.
I know. It probably was me. Like, I'm a guy that just, I'm a content creator that loves consuming content, which is probably half the reason I don't make much content now, but I listen to podcasts a lot and I really enjoy them. And where I was going with that was, I always find it really good as a creator when you're looking in the comments as someone commenting and saying, hey, that was epic. So when I was listening to you guys, I was trying to be conscious that we're listening to you over here in the UK. Hey, what's up? And then look at us, right? There's Rudy just down the way, literally a couple miles down the road. And you're like, I can't believe how close you guys are to each other.
Yeah. And Rudy was kind of a funny one. You know, I did the episode with Esme, which we actually have to redo. I didn't realize it at the time. The audio was great, like when we were talking to each other and, but I didn't realize that when it uploaded, apparently the audio just got trashed. And so you can't hear hardly anything. And Rudy had actually messaged me on Instagram, and told me that it was great that I had Esme on and all this stuff. And so him and I kind of talked back and forth on Instagram, and I just thought it was cool that, like, hey, I've got a Scottish friend, you know, like, and so I asked him to be on the podcast, and he was kind of like, what, me, like, little old me? And I was like, dude, I just want to talk to people. And so that was, you know, the beginning of a great friendship with, you know, somebody that I've never met. Just, well, I've met you a couple of times at MTE, but that's kind of the interesting thing is, you know, I've made friendships with people around the world that, you know, I literally have not met other than just talking to them on a video chat. It's crazy.
I think I want to dive into that a little more on what this podcast does and the people you reach after we listen to another one of our sponsors.
Still sitting on a bucket or a poorly built shop stool? Aren't you tired of the discomfort and back pain caused by your lousy shop stool? The days of tiny casters and thin seats are over. Meet the Viper Chair, America's number one shop chair, made right here in the USA. The Viper Chair glides over any surface and loose debris with 4-inch industrial-grade casters. Relieve your lower back pain with the perfectly angled backrest. Prevent tipping and improve posture with a wide, sturdy base. Viper Chairs are designed for every industry: automotive, detailing, welding, or any other project in your garage, no matter what you love to do. With an artillery of accessories, Viper is here to help you with whatever the job requires. Stop wasting your money buying cheap China-made shop stools and get yourself a Viper chair, handcrafted right here in America. Visit ViperIndustrial.com now for our $50 site-wide sale. But hurry, this sale ends soon. Shop ViperIndustrial.com. That's ViperIndustrial.com.
Cough, cough. Viper mustn't listen to the last one of me making a request. So what I really liked before we had the Viper advert there was I say this to a lot of people. People say, well, hey, why should I do YouTube? Why should I do a podcast? And I say, because it's you. You know, your following are going to listen because you.
Yeah.
Me and you, Alex, could literally deliver the same content on a podcast. Some people would engage with yours. Some people would engage with mine. You create your own community. People, you know, just be entertained or educated by different types of people.
Right.
And what I like about your style is it's literally that. You have a very loose framework, and I like that. And you say, I just want to talk. And from that, you just want to talk. How many people do you think, like, your podcast, your platform, because it's not seeking out the gurus of everything, the whatever, you just want to talk and hear people's perspective about where they are in their life and their detailing career. You know, is that what makes your podcast a little bit different from the others? Is that what makes this so unique? What do you think? You know, give me the detailed solutions, kind of the pitch. Why should they listen to your podcast? What is it?
I think so. I mean, most of the feedback that I get from people is, you know, that it's, they're listening to other people's stories, right? Again, it's not, you know, we're not having the Alan Medcrafts of the world on podcasts and, you know, just kind of like, hey, look at us, you know, but it's having the Alan Medcrafts of the world on and getting their story and hearing how they grew their business or why they did this or, you know, how they even got into detailing. And I think that's the thing that, you know, whether it's, you know, a Jason Rose or it's an Alex Russell, people can relate because somewhere along the line, you're going to connect with people. You know, you're going to be like, you know, well, wow, you know, like it's cool to see this person who came from nothing, you know, had an addiction, you know, came out of the car wash. Like I was always kind of taken back that like, oh, I'm just the car wash guy in the industry. Like, and then come to find out, like when I talk to these people, like, yeah, I started at the car wash too. And I'm like, you know, and then I was like, okay, like I'm not feeling so bad for starting at the car wash, but you know, hearing people's struggles, you know, how they started and failed and started up again and you know, all that stuff, it just makes it relatable, you know. And you see people on sometimes on social media and they're on a pedestal, you know. I mean, Jen's the biggest example I can use. Like Jen's on a pedestal in this industry, you know, whether you love her or hate her or whatever, right? And then she comes on the podcast and she says, hey, I have a drinking addiction, I have these problems, I have these issues. And so many people can go like, oh my God, like now I relate to Jen because she has the same issues that I have, or it's a relatable issue. And that's where I think this podcast is a little different than a lot of the other podcasts, is because like you said, I just want to talk to people. And the way that I always kind of like my elevator pitch of this podcast is it's, you know, two people sitting at a restaurant, having a drink, getting to know each other, and everybody else is just eavesdropping in. And that's what I think makes it relatable to everything.
Right. I've had an epic comment come through actually from Mike, and he says the DSP podcast is like no other detailing podcast because it uses the hyphen, we're not jumping on the back of it, Joe Rogan model, right? Where there's no agenda, it's pure conversation. And as the now new host of the show, I'll agree with that. I said to Alex before this, I'll openly say, I'll let this podcast extend. No more adverts.
We actually have two more.
Two more within 10 minutes.
We go longer.
I said to him, hey, have you got any topics you want to cover? And he went, nah, dude. Literally, do it as you want to do it. It's two guys having a chat. And I think genuinely that is true. You know, people come on here and they share things because you make it easy for them to share things. And that's what I like about this podcast when listening. And, you know, I.
And the thing that really kind of like makes me feel, you know, all warm and fuzzy inside is
your jumper.
When everybody comes on and they're like, hey, thank you. You know, thank you for having me on and letting me tell my story. But what's also cooler is, you know, with some of these guys in the industry who, you know, have that reputation or have that, you know, kind of status, you know, send you an email like Jason Rose did and said, "Hey, I had a lot of fun on the podcast. Anytime you want me on again, just let me know. I'd love to come on." And that's, you know, like, that's awesome. You know, like Rennie Doyle, the couple of times I've had Rennie Doyle on, and Rennie just being like, "Yeah, just, you know, get with Chris and figure out my schedule and I'm there." You know, so the fact that, you know, people of that caliber and busy schedules and, you know, just hecticness are, you know, "Hey, yeah, we'll make time. We'll come on the podcast," you know, and they're not doing it to do it as a favor. They're doing it because they truly enjoyed it the first time and they like coming on and having those conversations.
I wouldn't come back. I wouldn't be the host if I didn't enjoy it. You know what I mean? exactly. No, but that's the truth, you know?
I know. Listen, there's been so many times that you and I have talked and you're like, "Man, I want to come back on. I want to come back on." And, you know, but you're busy. You had health issues. Yeah. You had health issues. And then, you know, you were selling your businesses and everything like that. So now that hopefully your health is better and, you know, your businesses are, you know, not a main priority, we can start having you on a little bit more every now and then.
Let's see what mobile tech brings, my friend. Let's see what mobile tech brings. Well, so we've kind of covered how the podcast came to be. We got to talk about Jason for a little bit. For the guys that are potentially fresh to this podcast, there's usually this stunning other guy here with his beautiful beard. Let's talk about Jason. So you said basically it came about you being in a group chat, or did you know Jason before this group chat? Like,
So I knew Jason beforehand. You know, I had stumbled upon the Pain Assassins Facebook group, joined it, really enjoyed it because of what it was compared to some of the other detailing groups that I had been in that a lot of times just, you know, make fun of you for asking questions versus actually answering your questions. And then I got the chance to meet Jason at an IGL meet and greet here in Orlando because Jason's only 2 hours away. He was using IGL at the time I was, and IGL was down here doing a like a little retreat with their salespeople. And so they said, "Hey, look, anybody in Florida want to come to Orlando? We'll do a meet and greet." So I met Jason there, and then we kind of just hit it off and became, you know, social media friends. And, you know, we saw each other at MTE. He came over to my shop a couple of times and did some work with me. And then he was a true friend. And when I broke my wrist and had a F450 dually to do, black dually to do, he came over and helped me for 2 days to, you know, cut it and polish it and, you know, make my life easier. I mean, when we had this group chat, you know, it's because we were all friends and that was kind of our, you know, way of keeping in touch with each other and, you know, versus phone calls and stuff like that, which we still did. So where Jason became involved with the podcast was, I don't remember how many episodes I was in, 10, 20 or something like that. Billy Bogus with American Detail Garage had called me.
High five.
And he said, "Hey, Alex," he said, "I really had fun, you know, on the podcast. I want to come on again." And I said, "Well, Billy, I got a lot more detailers to get through before I can start having repeats, you know?" So that kind of sparked the idea for the What's on Your Mind episodes. And so I called Jason immediately and I said, "Hey man, you know, Billy wants to come on again, but you know, like I can't have another, you know, I can't load people up that much." I said, "But I'm thinking about doing another episode and call it What's on Your Mind and just have people come on and we'll just talk about whatever. It doesn't even have to be detailing related." And he's like, "Oh man, I love that." He goes, "I'd love to be a part of it." And I said, "Well, why don't you be my co-host? You know, you can kind of help, you know, interject and ask questions or whatever." And so that's how it started. And then quickly it turned into topic based because I realized when it was just me and Jason and somebody else and we were just, you know, talking about whatever was on our mind, it it got a little out of control, and I'm a pretty structured person. I like to stay in the lines of to an extent. So that's where I said, okay, well, let's do it topic based. Let's have a topic. We'll bring somebody on who we feel either has experience with that topic or can interject about that topic, or, you know, maybe just has an opinion on that topic. And that's kind of how it, the What's On Your Mind started, with Jason being my co-host. Nice. And then the Q&As are still mine, because that's, I feel like, you know, how it started was it's me and one other person. And so I wanted it to stay that way. So, you know, we do a Q&A with me and whoever the guest is, and then we do topic related ones with me and Jason. And then whoever, you know, we bring on for the topic. And then recently we started doing product spotlights, because we had some people, you know, say, hey, you know, it'd be cool to learn about this or that. So now we try to do one product spotlight a month, on the What's On Your Mind episode, where we'll invite a brand person. Like this month we have actually, in 2 weeks, we have Cole from Sonax is going to come on, yeah, and we're going to talk about Sonax. And then, you know, and then it kind of evolved. We started doing the Restream thing, so we could do Facebook Live, you know, and have people call, you know, message us live and ask us questions.
There we go. There's Mike's comment straight on the podcast. You will forever be solidified in the podcast, Mike.
Yeah. There we go. And then, you know, and then it was kind of like, you know, I think it was Noxie actually that said, you know, get a phone where people can call in.
Ooh.
And
tell you what, we should talk about what the future might hold for this podcast. Ideas like that, I think. We'll smash one more of our advertisers. Boom. Thank you so much for supporting us. And then we'll dive deeper into what Alex thinks the future of this podcast might be.
Daniel here from the Big Box C store right down the street. Hey, we have a special in aisle 15 on yellow microfiber towels, guaranteed to scratch and mar your paint to high hell. So go on down aisle 15 if you're really looking for a less than quality product. Appreciate you. Come on down.
Hold up, Daniel. Every detailer who knows anything knows that auto fiber is where it's at. From the No Freak Streak to the Korean Pearl to the Dreadnought Drying Towel, auto fiber has everything that you need. So go to autofiber.com and use the code DSP at checkout to save today.
Hey, Alex. If you were to bring a microfiber towel out, what would you call it? Because some of the names these guys are naming products are crazy.
Oh, man. I'd call it the MF-er. Because when you abbreviate microfiber towels, everybody always goes, motherfucker? So right? I would just call it the MF-er.
Right. So from someone that's had a brand, I'm really lucky that from the start, you know, you might not get it, but I'm a little bit knock on wood simple. So that's why we kept it. If it's cleaning wheels, we'll call it wheels. But if we'd have went down the line of all these random names, wow. So I thought I'd just ask you there, Alex. Let's find out a little bit more about Alex. What would you call it?
I call it the MF-er. That would be my nice towel.
Dude, that is you need to go right now and buy like those URLs, trademark that bad boy. Because one of those big companies is going to snap that up.
Yeah, I'll go call Ian. I'll call Ian and work something out with him.
I love it. Right, so we've been... Mike's coming with something before we dive on. I've been listening to every podcast 3 to 6 times. Been on it 2 times and 2 other times with my wife. High five. Alex is doing a great job for the community. There you go, Alex. High five to you, Chief.
Mike's going to kiss ass.
Thank you very much, Mike. Tell you, you're forever solidified in this podcast now.
Yeah.
I wanted to go in a little bit just because I stopped you before, and I'm sorry the listeners listening. This is my first time hosting. Let us know in the comments. Email Alex and tell him how rubbish I am and I've never to be on again. How I am doing as a host and not talking over Alex too much, because we've admitted we are a couple of chatter boxes. You were going on a little bit about Noxie talking about some of the cool features he thinks would be cool, and I'm guessing we've spitballed ideas as well. So What do you see the progression of this podcast being in the next 6 to 12 months?
So, I mean, for the next year, what we're focusing on is trying to get out more with the people. So we've got, you know, we're very thankful that, you know, I started calling them partners. I feel like advertisers is a little plain, and sponsors is a little weird. So I think of them as partners, right? Like, because we're partners in this.
Part of our family. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So Chris with Detailers Roadmap reached out to me a while back and said, "Hey, look, you know, we're doing a booth at MTE. Booth space is way bigger than what I need. Would you be interested in taking some of it and recording podcasts at MTE?" And I was like, "Man, I would love that. Like, that would be great." You know, and realizing that we're going to be his dancing monkey, you know, hopefully his hope is that people will want to come see us and then kind of mill over to his section, you know, and maybe vice versa. People go to his section and then mill over and see us. So that gave me the idea of, you know, possibly getting Jason and I out to SDC in Kentucky, because SDC is now, you know, owned or partnered with the company that runs MTE. So I see that could be being built up, you know, pretty big like MTE is. And then getting Jason and I out to SEMA, you know, at the end of the year, because then that's where we'll really see a lot of our international friends and listeners who, you know, probably won't come to MTE, but a lot of them will go to SEMA. So that's crazy. That's what's on the plan or on the books for this year, is to get Jason and I out to these expos, to do live podcasts from our sponsors' booths, you know, to kind of give them a little payback and get out, you know, get the podcast out there a little bit more. And then at the same time, kind of dragging our partners with us and showcasing, you know, their products for the support that they've us. You know, we'll kind of see where it goes from there. I mean, it's, you know, I really try to keep the evolution, you know, going as much as I can, just so that it's not the same thing all the time. You know, we don't start getting stale and stagnant. You know, so who knows where the next kind of change might be within episodes or whatever.
Nox is your next host. That'll be the next change. I'll be binned once Noxy comes on. What up, motherfucker?
It's hard to get him to do anything, so I don't see that happening. But you know, I mean, a big change just within the last like few months is you know, and Jason kind of had to drag me kicking and screaming for it, but was doing the YouTube thing, because I felt like I didn't want to lose listeners to YouTube. I wanted listeners to be listeners, and it took him, you know, kind of beating me over the head and then going and tattletaling to Noxy, and then Noxy calling me and yelling at me, for me to understand that YouTube can be a tool. Like, we might pop up, you know, somebody sitting there watching Jim White videos and Pan videos or whatever, like we might pop up in their feed and they might watch it for a little bit and go, "Oh, hey, this is a real podcast." And then they go find us on the podcast, you know, and right, listen to it there. So, so it took a little bit, but that was, you know, part of the evolution was doing the YouTube thing, doing the, you know, getting on there. So yeah, who knows where else it'll go.
I love it. Did we speak to Chris about having him stream it on every single one of his websites? Like, he's got to have that magic hack button. He's the gaffer, right? Secret bit of code.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should talk to him about it.
I would 100%. So are you, just for our listeners, so I think this would be cool. So there's a couple of comments you made there. One, that a lot of people go to SEMA over MTE. Like, your opinion on that? Let's get a bit more, Alex. Like, for me, I think it's crazy that detailers, I love SEMA. I'm not taking away from SEMA. It's in Vegas, MTE. Baby. MTE. But for me, Yeah, for me, SEMA in Vegas is a holiday where I get to see a few friends on a nighttime, but through the day, I'm not working. It's, you know, it's chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas mobile tech for me is like a really everything in one shop. Like you're getting business, you're getting education, and you're getting all your friends in one place in the industry. If you want to do business, it's there. If you want to just hang out and start, you know, shaking hands and getting a little bit of a name for yourself, like integrating yourself into this international community. It's why I did mobile tech.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people would know who I am if I hadn't have come over. You know, my YouTube channel back then was doing okay, but I didn't come over and being like the British guy and everyone, who's this weirdo?
Yeah.
Going off here and just put myself in front of everyone. I would never have got that kind of reach.
You know, I don't pick MTE because it is in my backyard. It's easy for me to drive to and from. You know, I'm not staying in a hotel and all that stuff like most people. I'm not picking it because of that. That's a big part of it. But honestly, I do feel like MTE is more manageable as far as like for networking, right? Like it's easier to talk to, let's say, you know, a person like you, a Jason Rose, a Rennie Doyle, a Bob Phillips, you know, all these.
You just didn't put me all in their same sentence. That never happened. Like,
well, I mean, okay, you know what? Listen,
I'm a host of a podcast now. That's my highest level. That's my highest level now.
Yeah.
The only reason I did this was to put one up.
now before you were a chemical maker and a world renowned detail, and you're the ID president. Come on, man! Like, there's nothing like what's higher than that.
Yeah. But officially, I'm not. Officially, I'm 4 days past being the ID president. I'm now the president. But yeah, until we have the official meeting at Mobile Tech, I'm probably still have the voting power.
But at MTE, you can talk with those guys. Try to talk to those guys at SEMA. It's damn near impossible.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
Like and it's not because I'll put this out there, and I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but I will say this from the perspective of, I know we're having fun about it, but in Europe, I have been in Europe, I am the guy like you're describing, you know.
Right.
It's not that at SEMA, these guys don't want to talk to you as a consumer, as a fan. It is because the footfall and the mixture of the footfall. So it's not just detailers at SEMA. It's motorsport fans. It's purchasers. It's all these people want to grab a hold of that person. Whereas at Mobile Tech, most of the time, it's a smaller number and it's industry focused. You're not going to get Joe Pump. And it's the only reason I want to say that there is, as the person at the other end of that, where some people think that guy never would have talked to me. It's huge events like SEMA. It's very difficult and it's not.
Right. And even if you want to take it, even if you want to take it on the, you know, take it down a notch, right? Like to me, it's easier to go to Mobile Tech and talk with a Barry Thiel, a Joe LaPalm, you know, an Ian Remmelkamp, versus when you go to SEMA, because again, there's so much more, right? Like it's going to be harder to talk to those people and kind of find out about their products and what's going to be best for you, right? Like SEMA, it's really going to be, go talk to our salesperson and we'll get you set up. And sometimes, you know, detailers like myself, we want to go to the main person and say, hey, so look, this is what I want. This is what I'm trying to get. You know, what do I need to do? And then I'll go talk to your sales guy and order it or whatever. Right. But like, I want to know from the source. I want to know from the people or whatever. And that I feel like you can do way more at MTE. And then two, the networking is just so much cooler. Like when you're just walking around and you bump into somebody and you're like, oh, hey, and you start talking and, you know, where you're, you know, you can have a 10 or 15 minute conversation with that person versus at SEMA. It's like, oh, hey, okay, I got to go over here now because I got to talk to this guy and I got to talk to that guy and I got to, you know. So, I mean, I think SEMA is cool because there is a lot more. If you know, if you really want to try to, you know, meet or talk to a lot of the people that you know on social media. But MTE is where you go and you have this kind of conversation, right? The just chill, the laid back, hey buddy, it's been a while, how you doing, you know, what's been going on. You know, and I think give it a couple more years, man. And I think MTE might be the better deal than SEMA, period, because MTE is definitely growing.
Right.
You know, so
I want to just thank you, first of all, for letting me be the host of this. It's been great fun. Difficult for me. Well, listening to your stories, Benice, but for us not to talk over each other. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. It's been amazing hearing your story. And I think it helps the listeners understand now why you guys have created such a cool podcast, and it is because of the people and the fact that you just want to talk, and it's a nice, steady conversation. So I really enjoy that. One thing I am not going to do is destroy your outro. So from here on in, I will take off my host's hat and pass it over to yourself, Alex. You are now the man in charge. I am once again just the person on the other side of the video. And I want to thank you for letting me do this. It was great fun.
Awesome, man. I want to thank you. Thank you for the it was your idea, so you get all the credit on this one. So if we don't get any listens, I'm blaming you for it.
100%. I'm the reason your statistics crashed.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, man, I do appreciate it. I know it's late your way. I know you got a bounce, so I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Dude, thank you.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to really do that one. So that's me. We've never really done one of these on the podcast. I know I've shared bits and pieces over the last 200 and something episodes. You know, I know I've told my story on a couple of other podcasts. But like Alan said, right? I mean, like, he could do a podcast, I can do a podcast, and it's you're going to get something different. You know, I can be interviewed in however many different podcasts, and my story is my story. It'll never change, but it's how the host asks the questions that can change the way that it's kind of being told. Somebody might ask me different questions than kind of the typical norm, to where it's kind of the same answer, but a different answer, or different, told in a different way. So I really appreciate Alan, because I think he asked me really great questions, that maybe I haven't been asked before, or asked them in ways that I wasn't asked before, so that it changed my answer a little bit. I'm glad that he came up with this idea. I'm glad that we were able to put it together. I hope that you guys will listen to it as much as you listen to the other ones, and not like, there's this guy just wants to talk about himself. Because I do that enough on the podcast, the normal one. But yeah, so that's me in a nutshell, so to speak. Hopefully it's something different than what you guys have heard before. I really can't say enough to Alan for doing this for me. Hopefully he doesn't come and take my job. We don't have enough payroll for him. So yeah. So I'm going to leave it there. You guys all have a great day, night, evening, whenever you're listening to this. I appreciate it so much. I'm so happy to be in the new year, starting this new year with you guys. I'm glad that we were able to bring back all of our partners for sponsorship. Super excited that we added Car Supply Warehouse. Glad that Jason and his crew are on board. Hopefully that'll lead to some really cool things. And I'm going to go, because I have to record another one of these in a couple of hours. So we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.